Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 1. I would invite you to stand with me out of respect for the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 1. And this message that I'm going to preach to you today is one I like to preach around Christmas time. I think we need to be reminded of some things sometimes. And there's nothing new under the sun. I know that there's some people that say, well, a preacher should never preach the same message. We always have different people. We always have new people coming in. And we are very forgetful people, aren't we? And so we need to be reminded of some things. How many times does the Lord have to repeat himself in Scripture? Because we're just hard-headed and we can't remember things. Well, maybe he just did that for me. Maybe you're not hard-headed. Maybe it's just me. But you shouldn't have said amen to that. Who said amen? Was that my wife that said amen? I'm not sure. Matthew chapter number 1, and we'll start reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. As I thought about this passage of Scripture, we are in a time right now where people don't know the real meaning of Christmas. They think it's all about, you know, the presents that they open, or Santa and his sleigh, or, you know, the Frosty the Snowman, or whatever. You hear those songs all over the place. And but the real meaning of Christmas is what we're reading about right now. Is we know this is a time in Mary's life where a miracle takes place, and God implants into her womb a child. Who was that child? That child was Jesus. We know that was God, the Son of God, who taken away the sin of the world. Was inside of her to come to this earth to take upon himself the form of a servant. And I'm just so tired of driving down the road and seeing things that have nothing to do with Christmas and seeing all these worshiping false things. And I think it's time just to get back to having the right kind of Christmas. And so I'm going to preach that to you today, that I'm dreaming of a right Christmas, not a white Christmas. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the time we have to be here today. Lord, we ask you please to meet with us in a special way. Do what only you can do. Lord, we ask you please to have your will and way. And Lord, may we bring you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I hear songs all the time. And in fact, the past week or so, as we've gone into several stores, I've heard all these songs going on, Christmas songs, as they would call them. And they're singing about all kinds of things. They're singing about Santa Claus. And they're singing about, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And just dashing through the snow and all those different things. And then I heard that song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. Some people like it warm. I know my son Carter would rather have an 85-degree Christmas day. I know he just gets cold. He's a very cold-natured person, gets cold very easily. I'm the type of person, man, let it blizzard. I'm okay with that. You know, I want to see snow. When I wake up Christmas morning, I want to see snow outside. And I want to see snow all year long if it was up to me. I love snow. And first of all, I like snow because it makes people keep clothes on. I like snow for that reason. But I also just like it. I think it's pretty. I love snow. And people sing that song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. And as they think about that, yeah, it's good to have snow, but that really doesn't make what Christmas is. Christmas is going to be here whether there's snow or not. But as I go down and I listen and I see signs and I see things, you see Merry Xmas. You see Happy Holidays. You see best wishes during the season, or season's greetings and things like that. Whatever happened to saying Merry Christmas? See, I've thought about putting a sign out by the road that says Merry Christ X, taking the mass out of it and just realizing it's all about Christ. You know, he's the one that makes us merry, but you know how much hate mail I'd get over that one, right? You remove that word mass off the end of it, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Which I'm good at making people mad in that way, so praise God for that. But the fact is, if you noticed even our sign this morning coming in, it's Keep Christ in Christmas. And the thing is we have so many people that it bothers me, and I understand it's the season that we're in and things like that, but it bothers me when you check out somewhere and they say, Happy Holidays. And I'm just ornery, I guess. I don't know. I look at them and I say, Merry Christmas to you too. You know? And because I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. And here in this passage of Scripture, as we read it, we understand that there was a purpose behind it. And if you notice in our text verse, verse 21, when he said, when the Lord says, and it shall, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. It's all capitalized because he's saying, listen, this is the real season and the real meaning for what's going on. It has nothing to do with anything else other than Jesus. And I want you to realize that Christmas is not about the gifts that we get. Christmas is not about the trees that we put up. Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It's not about any of that. And you can say, preacher, don't talk about Santa Claus. My kids are here. Let's do a favor. You can joke and cut up and have things like that, but let's tell them the truth. The truth about what Christmas is really all about. And you know what? You say, preacher, I'm not your fan. Well, praise the Lord for that. Good job. Get in line. You ought to be a fan of Jesus, not a fan of me, okay? But the fact is we've lied to our kids so long that they believe Christmas is all about this man with a red suit and a beard that sucks it all in and slides down your chimney and gives them presents at night and all these different things. And they don't realize the greatest gift that was ever given. And so we need to get back to having a right kind of Christmas. And the type of Christmas that I think is right, and we're going to talk about some things. What is the real reason for Christmas and what is the right kind of Christmas? And I think it will be a help to you. We're going to look at Luke chapter number 2. To go through this and to try to dissect what a right Christmas is all about. You know, in Luke chapter 2 is where we find what most people read as the Christmas story. We call it the Christmas story. But some things take place, and I want you to see what's going on here. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Now here's the key I want you to see. Look, underline this phrase. Because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, I'm afraid that today we make no room for Jesus. Make no room for him all year long, especially even at Christmas time. And that was such a sad statement there. It said they had to go out into a manger, into a stable where animals were, where cows were. I mean, I don't know about you. I smell the farms around here sometimes when you're driving around, and those cows don't smell too good. You know, I've had the privilege of working on a farm before and having to deal with the pigs and the cows and different things and mucking out stalls and cleaning out pens and all that stuff. Doesn't smell too good, you know, and we're glad for all the corn and things we get to eat, but when them farmers are doing their field, what happens as we drive by? We're like, wow, that smells bad. See, our Savior, Jesus Christ, came to this earth and was born in a manger. Why? Because there was no room. No room in the inn. He showed himself that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I mean, made himself the form of a servant. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in a stable. Now, if I'm looking around here, I don't think anybody in this room was born in a stable. I don't think anybody was. I've known people that have given birth at home, and because ladies just give birth quickly, some in the bathroom, some other places. But, you know, out in the elements of the outside and all those things, those stables, that's where Christ was born. And he told him, he said, you need to call his name Jesus. He said, because he'll save his people from their sins. But in Luke 2, we're reading, it said there was no room for them in the inn. So I think the right kind of Christmas, first of all, is we need to make room for Jesus. We need to make room for Jesus. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I think that what we've done is we've allowed so many things, the busyness of the season, this Christmas season, and our shopping experiences, and our decorating our trees, and our decorating our houses. I drive around some of these houses around here, and I think to myself, wow, look at that. You know, all the blow-ups, and all the lights, and all the stuff. It looks like, man, like airplanes are going to land. I mean, there's lights everywhere. I mean, I know people in our church, they have beautiful house. We drive by it every year, you know. The Crothers, man, their house is just beautiful. I drive by it, lights everywhere. I love it. You know, why? And I love it for people that decorate their homes and do all this stuff as we're driving home back ways through Spring Mills and things like that. Man, houses are decorated and people put a lot of care into the time of the season and they do all these things to prepare for this Christmas holiday, as they would say. But all of it is consumed with the decorations and the trees and the lights and the presents and the planning of the meals and getting people, when are we going to this person's house or that person's house and this and that, and we're trying to make sure we got cards for people, make sure we have this, and we do so much, and Christmas Day comes, and we open up the presents, and then Christmas Day is over, and we realize, where was Christ? And we make no room for him. So I think a right kind of Christmas is one that we ought to just let Christ be the center of it. Let Christ be the center of Christmas. People have asked, well, why do you have church on Christmas Day? People are with their families. Well, what is the reason that we're celebrating, right? The birth of Christ. What better place to be than in what he died for, the church, right? Amen. Christmas Eve, we're having church. You don't have to ask, is Faith Baptist Church having church on Christmas? Yes, we are. Why? Because we're going to celebrate the birth of our Savior. That's what it's all about. Jesus is the reason for the season. You understand that, right? We don't have to be ashamed of it. We don't have to worry about it. It's okay to look at somebody and say, Merry Christmas. I'm not afraid of putting Christ's name in something because he is the reason that we came. That's name of Jesus. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. And we need to make room for Christ. Some of us here don't even know the Lord as our Savior. If you're here today, the first step of making room for Christ is trusting him as your Savior. You know what that means? You're going to have to realize what he came for. The reason that he came to this earth, the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost, which means we have to realize that we all are guilty before God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us falls short of what's expected to get to heaven. There's none righteous. The Bible says, no, not one. All of our good works, all of our righteousnesses, the Bible says, or our good actions are as filthy rags unto the Lord. We realize that there's not a work that I can do to gain heaven because the Bible says if my works could get me to heaven, then Christ died in vain. And he helps us to realize that we're not worthy of heaven in ourselves, that our sin has a penalty. That penalty is death and hell, separation from God forever. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God, here at Christmas time, I love giving gifts to other people. I love watching our kids open presents. I love seeing the smile on their face when they see that. But I'll tell you this, the greatest gift at Christmas time would be for somebody to find Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior, because the Bible says he is the gift of eternal life. Through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, Jesus Christ paid the price for the gift of eternal life. And all you have to do is receive him. You need to make room for him in your heart. You know what that means? Is you're going to have to get rid of pride. You have to get rid of yourself and realize that we can't do it on our own. There's a lot of people this Christmas season, they'll darken the door of a church one time this year because they'll go to church on Christmas and they'll do some religious ritualistic act and they'll think, well, there, God must be pleased with me. But it's not by our actions. If you remember all throughout Scripture, the Jews, what were they doing? Religious acts, but they were lost. And they had to trust Jesus and do it his way. We have to make room for Jesus. It saddens me that we look around the world and we know that they're trying to eliminate everything there is about God. In our courthouses and our schoolhouses all over the place, they're trying to get rid of the Lord. And I understand that for the world because they're of the devil. They're father of the devil. But what's sad is we've removed Jesus from the church. We're more concerned about what are we doing at our fellowship? Or did we get to decorate the church auditorium properly? Or are we going to have, what cards are in the back for me? Or did I have all my cards present? Listen, it's not about what cards we receive. It's not about the presents that we get. It's not about the decorative trees and the beauty of all of that. Here's the thing. Too many of us worship a tree. We worship a Santa Claus. We worship a reindeer or a snowman. And we don't worship the Savior. Amen. And he's the reason for Christmas. Amen. And we need to make room for him in our Christmas season. When we think about what is a right Christmas, it's making room for Jesus. I think there's some of us here today that have some sin in our life that are hindering our relationship with our Savior. There's some things in our life that we're not willing to get rid of because that's mine. And it's, you know, you can't have it. That belongs to me. But God wants all of it. And we need to give it all to Him. We need to make room in our hearts for the Lord. We need to make room for the Savior. What is it that's blocking Him from having complete control in your life? The Bible says this, that in all things He should have preeminence. That means Christ needs to have control of every aspect of your life. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everywhere that we go, Christ ought to be the center of it. He ought to be the center of it. And I'm saddened today in the state of our churches all across America as we have people that come to a social club rather than coming to a church. They come to a place where, oh, it's all a feel-good religion. You understand that sometimes serving the Lord doesn't feel good. Sometimes doing the right thing doesn't always feel good. There's a lot of opposition that comes. But right is right, and we must do right. Why? Because Christ is right. And because we have the Savior living in us as believers, we ought to do things to glorify and honor Him. So the right kind of Christmas, what is the right kind of Christmas? It's one that makes room for Jesus. Let me ask you this. Is He first in your house? See, my wife and I, a while ago, we prayed and asked the Lord what He wants us to do at Christmas time. And we had a tradition for a long time. We used to live away from family. Now we live close by, so things change a little bit. But we still have the same kind of tradition. Is we always put out the nativity scene for our family. And as we put out the nativity scene, we never put baby Jesus in the nativity. We always just put the whole nativity out. And when our kids woke up, it may not have been exactly on the 25th, whatever day it was that we decided. Whenever they woke up and they saw baby Jesus in the manger, they knew Christmas was here. And so we did that for a reason, because we wanted them to understand Christmas isn't Christmas without Christ. Christmas isn't Christmas unless the Savior's there. Christmas isn't Christmas just because there's presents here. Christmas isn't Christmas because there's a tree or stockings hung on that mantle. That's not what makes Christmas. What makes Christmas is the coming of the Savior. And we had to realize that. Hey, He came for a purpose. He was born in a manger so that we could go to heaven one day. And we tried to teach our kids that. And so we try it now as they get older. It's harder to surprise them because they know and they hear us as we try. We used to be able to play tricks on them. They could be right in front of us and we could play tricks on them. But it's hard to do that now. They're getting older and smarter and all those things. Well, maybe older anyway. They're getting that. So, but it's, you know, we have to always keep Christ in Christmas. And I'm not telling you that to try to pat us on the back. I'm just saying the Lord taught us something that we need to realize, that we keep Christ in Christmas. I remember growing up, every time our family would get together, we never opened a gift. We never did any of that until my granddad sat down and read the Christmas story. Why? Because he wanted us to understand that, yes, it's great to have family together. And yes, it's great to have these presents to be able to give to one another. God's been good. But he wanted us to understand where it all comes from. It comes from God, who's blessing us beyond measure, and that none of this would even matter without the Lord. And I think we've missed it in our society today. Not just in the world, but in our churches. We've missed it. We'll pack it out for a Christmas banquet. We'll pack it out for cookies. We'll pack it out for decorating a tree or doing all this. We'll go to visit places, man, all these lights and everything. And I love them. I love seeing the lights and I love seeing the decorations. I love it all. I get sad when Christmas is over. Why? Because everything just goes blah again. At nighttime, there's not lights shining everywhere and all this stuff. It's a blessing. I enjoy it. A couple years ago, I had to go help somebody. They were afraid of heights, got up on their roof, and were putting up lights. And they got, "Preacher, I'm afraid of heights, and I'm stuck. I'm on the roof, and I can't get down." And so I had to go help them get down. Now I'm climbing up on the roof, putting lights up. He said, "You're nuts climbing up there. I can't do that anymore." So anyway, we just have fun. I enjoy Christmas time, but the fact is, we can lose our focus because we get so wrapped up in all the lights and all the glamour and all the tinsel and all the things that we see out here. We forget about the true meaning of Christmas. So if we're going to have a right Christmas, first of all, let's keep Christ the center of it and realize we need to make room for Jesus. Second off, in Luke chapter number 2, we're going to see another thing here. Look what it says in verse 7. "And because there was no room for them in the inn," look at verse 8, "and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, look what it says, there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, look what it says here, verse 14, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Listen, the right kind of Christmas is making room for Jesus. The second part of it, the right kind of Christmas, is making room for the worship of Jesus. Listen, we ought to get back to worshiping Him. Not worshiping Santa, not worshiping all these other things. You say, preacher, I shouldn't have my kids in the service today because I'm telling them all about Santa, bringing them gifts. Listen, I want you to tell the kids the truth. When I was a police officer, I actually had a guy, Brother Jason, was mad at his parents. He was an adult. Got mad at his parents because he finally realized Santa wasn't real. And he had a domestic dispute with his family over it. Understand something. It's okay if you want to sometimes joke with them about things and all this kind of things and have fun and have blow-ups and have all those kind of things. But let them know the truth. Let them know who it is that we worship. There's too many times they sing that little song about Santa Claus where he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. It says, you know, there's nobody that knows all that except God. You know what we've done is we've taken the deity and the power of God and given it to a man who we say is on a sleigh that's not even real. And you say, preacher, this isn't a very happy message at Christmas time. But what I'm saying is this, we need to get back to the right kind of Christmas. Amen. It's where Christ is the center of everything. Where we worship the Savior once again. Listen, I want you to understand He was willing to come and give of Himself for you and I. If we're going to truly worship Him, we're going to have to give back to the Lord. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to understand He gave everything for us. We're not afraid to give to everyone else, but what about giving to God? See, a right kind of Christmas is a Christmas where Christ is the center. We're making room for Him. We're making room for the worship of the Savior. The Bible says, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. You got to serve Him, worship Him, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Listen, we need to get back to the worship of the Savior during Christmas time. When we sing the songs, we were singing Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Why? We're giving glory and honor and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These angels were given some example here. They sang, a multitude of heavenly hosts were singing. What? They were singing praises, but they were worshiping. Glory to God in the highest. You know what they were saying? There's nobody worthy of glory but Him. Oh, they gave testimony, and we're not, again, I want to talk about that here in a minute, but the worship of the Savior. The right kind of Christmas not only is making room for the Savior, worshiping the Savior, but giving to the Savior. Giving to the Savior. You say, why is it we come to church? We talk about giving, 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 giving. You know, God wants you. Every time we talk about giving, automatically our mind goes to money because that's what we worship. But we're not talking about that because you don't have to worry about that. That takes care of itself when you give of yourself to the Lord. Don't you think He's worthy of us giving our all to Him? He gave His all for us, didn't He? He tells us in the Word of God, He says, Son, give me thine heart. Why? Because the heart is where all the issues of life come from. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He said, what? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, son, give me thy heart. Why? Because out of our heart, the inner being of who we are is all the issues of life. God says this, I want you. The greatest gift that you can give God for Christmas this year is give Him your life. Just surrender your all to Him. Say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Just give of yourself completely from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Just give yourself to God. That's the greatest thing you can do because He gave Himself for you. A lot of people say, well, preacher, I just can't afford to give in the offering plate. Listen, when you give of yourself, God will tell you what He wants. You just give yourself. I tell people all the time, when you give of yourself, everything comes with it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't get mad when the preacher talks about we need to raise money for a building project. We need to do this. You don't get mad. Because when you're all in and God's got all of you, guess what happens? He gets all of you. Because everything we have, our health, our air, the oxygen, our heart beating today, all of that is because of God. That's right. Everything we have is because of God. Our job? Well, I worked hard. I went to college to earn that degree. Who gave you the mind? Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the opportunity to be at the job that you're at? God did that. You can say you worked hard for it all you want to, but who gave you the health to work for it? God did. We've got to get back to realizing all of this is about Him. And we realize that our worship during this Christmas season ought to be towards Him. But we ought to be willing to give to Him. We're not afraid to give to anybody else, are we? Man, give presents to other people. I've even heard my kids, well, I got to give presents for this person, and 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 this person. We're thinking, you're broke already on the second person. But anyway, it's like, I got to give to this person or that person or do this or do that. And it's all about what we give, 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 give. And listen, I'm glad that people have a desire to give more than receive. That's good. We ought to be willing to give more than we receive. But we're so easy to give to other people. But we're so afraid to give to Him. When He's done everything for us, everything Christ has done is more than anything anybody's ever done for you. He gave His all for you. Says He's bought you with a price. Thought about later, after Jesus had been born, they were no longer in the manger. Those wise men had been on that journey, and they come and they appear before the little child, and they have gifts, right, of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know what they didn't do? They didn't bring Him their leftovers. They brought Him the best that they had. Why is it that we're so quick to give God our junk, but we don't want to give Him the best things? I have a saying that I say oftentimes, is I don't want junk for Jesus. You say, what do you mean? You're broken down lawnmower, you can keep it. We don't need it, okay? The church isn't a graveyard for lawnmowers. Not what we are. You say, well, preacher, that was what I could do. Listen, you only gave it because it's broken and you wanted it out of your yard. That's the only reason you gave it. My pastor up in Michigan had somebody give him a broken down lawnmower that sat in their yard, had weeds growing up all around it. And he got that lawnmower, and he was a very good mechanic. He fixed it and was mowing grass with it. And the guy drove by and saw him mowing grass, pulled in the driveway, Brother Eddie, of the church, and came over and said, how'd you get that thing running? And he told him, he said, you mind if I have it back? So preacher said, sure, I'll bring it to your house. He told me, he said, you know what? My parents taught me to always give things back the same way I got them. So he took the new parts off, put the old parts back on, and loaded it on a trailer and dropped it off in the guy's yard, and there it was. You know why? Because we don't want to give God our best. We want to give God the leftovers, the junk. And that even is of your life. How come you'll give your boss at your job everything you got because you get a paycheck, right? What about the one who died for you, gave His all for you? Can't you give Him your best? The Bible says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might is unto the Lord and not unto men. We ought to do it the best we can. Why? Because we love cutting corners, don't we? Listen, I'm guilty of it too, folks. We like to find the easy way to get things done. I read a thing by D.L. Moody one time, David Livingston. David Livingston was a missionary, and somebody wrote him a letter, said, Mr. Livingston, I'd like to get where you are. What's the easiest way to get there? Mr. Livingston wrote back, said, I'm not looking for one that wants an easy way. I'm looking for one that'll make their own way if they have to. See, we always want the easy way, the easy way. But these wise men brought those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were worth something. They were costly. It cost them something because they realized who they were giving it to. They were giving their best because of who it was. You understand? God gave His best for us. So when we say, hey, we need some workers in this, well, I don't know. You know what? We ought to give our best. Lord, here am I. Use me. Because we're making room for Jesus. We're worshiping the Savior. We're giving to the Savior. But look back to Luke chapter 2 again. Luke chapter 2. We read down and said, and they sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You notice what they said? The Lord made something known to us, right? And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And look what verse 17 says. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know what? The right kind of Christmas, Brother Kenny, is one that makes room for Jesus. It's one that has worship of Jesus. It's one that gives to Jesus, but it's one that tells others about Jesus. Tells others about Jesus. See, they saw it. They had something made known unto them. And it said, and they went abroad and told them all about what they had seen. You understand, if you're saved in here today, you have something worth testifying about, don't you? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was picked up out of the muck and mire of this world, and my feet were set upon a rock and established my going. Put a new song in my heart. I've been given eternal life through Jesus Christ. I have something worth telling. I have something worth telling people about. Man, they saw a great miracle that took place. And now these shepherds are going around. They're telling everybody. Let me tell you what. The angels came and they sang and they told us about Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. We went and saw it with our own eyes. And I'm telling you, he's real. He's here. You know what? The day I got saved, I realized something. That all that the Word of God had said was true. Because when I received him as my Savior, man, things got different. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things become new. New desires, new way of doing things, new thoughts, new things. Like, why? Because I was no longer a child of the devil. I was a child of God. And it's something we're telling people about. Don't you think the greatest thing that somebody could ever receive is eternal life? Well, three people think so. That's a blessing. Don't you think the best thing that somebody could ever get is eternal life through Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Then why don't we tell them? Why don't we tell them about it? We're not afraid to tell little kids, let's go see Santa and sit on his lap and talk to him about this. Maybe one of his little elves will make you something. Instead of making them realize that Christmas is about Christ and we need to worship him and we need to give our all to him and tell other people about him, because that is God's purpose and that is God's plan. And the right kind of Christmas doesn't throw Christ on the back burner. It puts him on the forefront. There's a lot of churches that will have everything that there is about Christmas time, but they don't have anything to do about Christ. I had somebody come to our church recently, Brother Eddie, and they said, the reason we came to your church is because we saw on your website you were one of the only churches that mentioned Christ. Said a lot of other ones, they mentioned their programs and they mentioned all of these things, and they mentioned all this, but they didn't talk about Christ. Listen, Christ is the reason that we're here. And he's the reason for the season. And we ought not to forget about that. The right kind of Christmas. Listen, you can. I hope there's snow, but if there's not, Christ is still around. Amen. I want a white Christmas, but I want a right Christmas is what I want. A Christmas where Christ is glorified. He's worshipped. God is exalted. Glory is given to him. We're not worried about the gifts under the tree. We're not worried about the stockings. We're not worried about all of that stuff. What we're worried about is God here, and is he in the center of it all? The right kind of Christmas makes room for Jesus. It makes room for the worship of the Savior. Let me ask you this. Are you worshiping him? Are you worshiping him? Or are you worshiping the Charlie Brown Christmas? Some of the new kids are like, what? Young kids, what's that? Some of you older folks know what that is. You're worshiping all these traditions that we see at Christmas time. What would you do? Kids, what would you do if your parents came up to you and said, hey, we're not going to get any gifts for Christmas this year? What? Why not? That's not what it's about. We would panic. In fact, other parents would call you a child, whatever, an abuser of a child because you didn't give them a present. No, listen, I'm all for you giving your kids presents. I'm all about that. But the fact is, if they gain all these presents and they don't know God, we have missed out. They can have every toy, every game station, everything, all the new shoes, all the new jackets, all the new things, everything that the world has, they can have, and they can go to hell. And it all burns up. But if they know about Christ, which is the greatest thing they could ever know about, and guess what, parents? It's our responsibility to let them know. But it's not just our responsibility to tell our children, it's our responsibility to tell others. As we worship the Lord and we give to the Savior, we ought to be willing to tell others about him. So listen, do you have a right Christmas? Because God's the center. Because you're worshiping him, you're giving to him, you're telling others about him. That's what happened in Luke 2. People, I mean, what they do? The angels came and they worshiped God. Glory to God in the highest, they said. Wise men traveled from afar. And that, if you speak West Virginian, that meant a fire, right? They came from a far distance, we would say, okay? They came from afar. Why? To give. To give. And then we tell others about Jesus. Do your lips speak of Christ? Do you love him so much that you just can't help? You know, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Because you love somebody, you give to that person. Because you care about them, you do something. So if you love God, guess what you're going to do? You're going to give to him. You're going to give to him. And what are you going to give him? Yourself.